97.5, The Fanatic.
Everybody, I am Rob Motti, and I am back going through the cleaning process. I love the cleaning process. I'm addicted to the cleaning process. It's awesome. I'm here. We're ready to go. We're ready to roll. I'll be with you till 10 p.m. I'm back. My wife isn't. My kids aren't. I can't get them out of Florida, but it's okay. I'll go get them this week. It'll be all good. Man, we got a lot to talk about. Yeah, it's crazy because people who know what I do, when you're in conversations with family, friends, oh, there's no sports. What are you doing now? What are you doing now? I'm like, what am I doing now? There's a ton of stuff to cover. When you cover the sport, it's not just about the game. It's about everything else going on. Will they play? When will they play? What are they discussing? When are they negotiating? In the NFL hasn't taken a pause at all. There's constant and consistent news in the NFL. And there's a couple things that I want to get into that I feel, I wonder if, and that's what I want to ask you, I wonder if they may change your perspective a little bit. So I'll be here for the next 3 hours. Dylan McKinnon is producing the show. You can reach us at 610-632-0975. Now, you got Major League Baseball, and it's going to come down to billionaires fighting against millionaires because some owners may feel canceling the season is better than playing it at all. And there are players who don't want to take a pay cut. And we've heard from some of those. And we saw what Blake Snell of the Tampa Bay Rays said this week. And if you didn't, Blake Snell basically said that he has legitimate gripes about playing and returning and not getting full pay, even though they won't play a full season, even though there won't be fans in the stands. It's MLB is looking at proposing an 82-game season, so you would think the guys are going to make half their salary. And in his words, in Blake Snell's words, he'd be coming back and risking his life, and it's not worth it. And then you have Bryce Harper from the Phillies, your franchise player, come out and say that somebody needed to say what Blake Snell said. Dylan, do you have this cut ready to go? Let's hear what Bryce Harper, in a conversation, he's playing a video game. I think he's playing Fortnite with Bryson Stott, Phillies draft pick, and they're having a conversation about Blake Snell's comments.
What did Snell say on his stream earlier, do you know?
That he said it's not worth it to play with pay cuts, and that he, like, you guys are risking your lives getting, like, obviously getting COVID.
Yeah, I love Snell. That's my guy, bro.
He said if someone gets it, they got to live with that for the rest of their lives.
He ain't lying. He's right.
He's like, I need my. He's like, give me my money or I'm not playing.
Hey, bro, he's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him. Somebody's got to say it. At least he manned up and said it. Good for him. I love Snell, man. He has a beast, too. One of the best lefties in the game, bro.
So there you have it. That's what Bryce Harper has to say about Blake Snell's comments. And Snell was saying for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. And you're talking about a guy who was the Cy Young Award winner in 2018. His salary this year, he's still not getting paid what a Cy Young Award winner is because he's still early in his contract. He's got $7 million coming to him, so he would make around $3.5 million if they played half the season, if he was able to go a full, if you go six starters maybe now. He might make 13, 14, 15, 16 starts. Who knows? And then Bryce Harper supports him. So now you got the owners, the billionaires want the players to concede, and the players want their full salary. And even if you feel that way, you can't say it during this time of what we're going through, what the world is going through, what the country's going through, with people out of jobs, people waiting in long, ridiculously long lines at food banks, people losing everything, and you got players who are completely, completely tone deaf to it. So we have that. And I want to know how you feel about those two right there. Blake Snell's comments, Bryce Harper's reaction to it, and also, in the NFL, you have the NFL owners potentially proposing a change to the Rooney Rule that will give teams a draft pick incentive for minority hiring. And the way it breaks down would be if you hire somebody, you get a pick in the second round in year two. So you can't hire someone as a head coach or a GM and then fire them after year. In year two, you get the incentive. And if you hire two guys who are minorities as a head coach and a GM, then you get an even higher pick. So I haven't heard from anyone at all who thinks this is a good idea. Because you're basically saying, now if you're a minority coach and you get hired now, if this were to go through, and I think there's still going to be some roadblocks, you got to be thinking, is it because I'm the best candidate, or does the organization think, well, they're going to benefit? Now, it's not like getting a first round pick. You're getting 10 spots higher in the second round. Six spots. You're not getting a premium pick, but you're getting an incentive. And to me, this just shows you how NFL owners are completely out of touch. Completely out of touch. NFL owners, MLB owners, basically most of sports owners, not all of them, are out of touch with reality. Athletes who are complaining about not getting a full pay for playing half a season, out of touch with reality. So I want to know how you feel, one, about Blake Snell's comments, Bryce Harper basically reiterating everything and saying I'm right on, somebody needed to say it, and especially him being, and when you talk about Bryce Harper, since he came in last year, he has said all the right things. Bryce Harper knows exactly what to say. He's a good dude. And he knows exactly what to say in front of the camera. Everything, the way he embraced Philly fans, the way he embraced the city, the way he embraced the legends in the sport of years past, everything he's done, he knows exactly how to handle himself in the media. And he does a great job. This is one time where I think the public consensus is going to be, here in Philly, is going to be against what Bryce Harper had to say. So how do you feel about what Blake Snell said, what Bryce Harper backed up? 610-632-0975. If anyone thinks the NFL owner's proposal to give an incentive for minority hiring, why can't you just hire the best candidate? I don't care if he's orange, green, red, purple, blue. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are. We are all equal. We were all created equal. I don't get it. I will never understand any kind of division. I'll never get it. I'll never understand that. I will never understand why we can't all treat each other equally. That's another topic. That's another rant. But now, and here's where I'm going with all this too. I want individual feedback to each of those. If anyone agrees with the NFL owners, you'd be the first I hear from. 610-632-0975. But I want to add this too. We are now going on more than two months without sports, right? We are, what's today? May 16, shut down. Yeah, over 2 months. And it's not coming back this week or next. And I know some things are starting to reopen and there's talk and the conversation and everything. But in that time, I'm wondering if the combination of maybe, just maybe, you've realized, if you're the diehard sports fan, have you taken a look at the way you've lived the past 2+ months and said, wow, there's a lot of time that I spent doing other things that are more rewarding for me. Family time, kids time, maybe took up a hobby, maybe did something that you'd always told yourself you were going to do around the house or whatever it may be. And when sports comes back, you go, you know what? I may not spend as much time on sports as I used to, because maybe I don't need it as much as I thought I did, because these past 2 months have proven to me that I can live without it. And the combination of NFL owners, MLB owners, MLB players, all of these guys showing you how out of touch they are with the real world, coupled with the fact you've gone more than 2 months now without sports, except the UFC, and they're coming back tonight, and I know there was a soccer game, but talking about the four majors. Does that, if you're the diehard, make you take a step back and turn you closer to the casual fan? And if you're the casual fan, same thing over these past 2 months. Yeah. I was a casual fan, go to a game here, turn it on. I didn't stop what I was doing to watch a game. I didn't make plans around every single game. Now, maybe you become more of a background observer. Yeah, I put the game on in the background, but it's not going to prevent me from doing anything else. Has what's transpired this week a little bit with a couple of these things that I'm talking about, coupled with the fact that you've survived. If you thought you could never survive, if you thought you could never survive without sports, look at us 2 months later. Now, I know we had the NFL draft. I know we had free agency in the NFL, and it's business as usual in the NFL, except we're missing on the OTAs and they're doing virtual home workouts. But there are so much that's kept you going with that. But you don't have the NBA playoffs. You don't have the NHL playoffs. You don't have Major League Baseball starting. And you've survived without it. Does that change your perspective? And when we come back at some point, because you know it's going to come back, at some point it's going to come back, are you still all in? Or are you taking a harder look at how you spend your time, but more importantly, how you spend your money? Now, when we come back, probably won't be able to get out to a game for a while. So you don't have to spend your money or invested in tickets and everything that goes with it. But time is money. And investing your time when maybe you could be doing something else. maybe you found that over the past 2 months, how I've gotten through this. How you've been able to take that time and do something different with it. Maybe that means when sports do come back completely, you're going to be like, I'm not as all in. And if so, is it for that reason? Or would it be because, man, these guys are so out of touch. Seriously complaining about getting a full pay for doing half the work when there are millions and millions of people who are jobless now. 610-632-0975. Love to get your thoughts on this conversation tonight. Phil in Delaware is going to lead it off for me. He's on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Phil?
Hey, man. Talking about how out of touch these guys, years ago, listened to or actually watched it on TV. Phillies had a guy named Wes Chamberlain.
Oh, I remember Wes, 93 Phillies, yep. Platoon right fielder with Jim Eisenreich.
Okay, so 1993.
Uh-huh.
We're going back 27 years, if my math is correct.
Yes, sir.
And Wes, the Phillies weren't phenomenal at that point, but Wes was complaining about the lack of fans in the stands. And the guy interviewing him said, well, Wes, you know, it's kind of expensive for, you know, a family of four to get out to the ballpark. And he started laying it out, you know, tickets and parking and concessions for the kids and all that. And the guy said, well, Wes, what do you think the average fan makes? And Wes looked at him and said, I don't know, $200,000 a year? In 1993. I'll never forget it.
You know, it's crazy, Phil. I don't know what the major league minimum was in 1993. But I'll tell you, Wes Chamberlain never had a big contract. I wonder what he was making. But
I know what I was making.
I hear you. And it won $200,000, that's for sure. I remember in 1993, I was a kid working summers. In my dad's shop, upholstery shop, with him and my uncle. It's their shop. And man, I was making like $25 a day. Now I was a teenager, but I know they weren't making $200,000.
No. Whew. No, I just, you know, it just really brought it home to me, like who we're really dealing with here. And if they're smart, what they'll do is they'll just shut their mouths and say, hey, we just want to get back out there for the fans. And if we take a reduced salary this year, then so be it. But
so Phil, tell me, and I agree 100%. Even if they feel this way, that you can't in the climate that we're in now, you can't stand up and say that. So
you can't.
What do you consider yourself? Have you been a diehard guy or more of a casual fan? Hardcore or casual?
More casual and more so every year.
So now
for baseball.
Now you may be more of a background observer than just not even a casual fan.
Yeah, they started losing me with the strike. That was actually when they started losing me. And Wes Chamberlain's comments didn't help. And I've always said that with baseball, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, but the reason that you don't get a lot of fans, well, you do get a lot of fans in the stands, but there's no sense of rivalry to baseball like there is football.
Yeah.
Ooh, those Mets are coming to town.
Yeah. Well,
nobody cares.
Yeah, it's interleague changed some things too, and now I don't know what they're going to do if they come back. And of course, we also have Bryce Harper putting out his proposal that we'll get into as well. Phil, good stuff, man. I appreciate the call. Thanks for the flashback to Wes Chamberlain.
Oh, unbelievable. Thank you.
Have a good one. Wes Chamberlain. Man, I remember him.
Part of my problem, and I agree that maybe it's a bit out of touch to be complaining about money when so many people are out of work, but I don't think enough people are talking about the owner's part in this.
Yeah.
Everyone's just piling on the players, saying, oh, the players are so out of touch, they should be taking the pay cut, they should be taking... No one's talking saying, oh, the owners should absorb some of that.
Dylan, if the owners are willing, and for the most part they are, to pay all of the employees, and I'm not talking about the players, but they've shown that they're willing to pay for all of the organization's employees and all of those people, and they're taking care of them. So they're doing right by those guys. I would rather the owners do right by all of the lesser employees who aren't players, right? Then give the players their full salary when they play half the season, no?
I agree with that, but I don't think it's an either-or. Because from what I understand and from what we've seen come out, mm-hmm. they could afford to do both. Now, I'm not saying the players should get their full contract, but right. they did agree to prorated where they get paid per game, depending on how many games they play. But I'm not saying the players are right. I just think it's a bit weird that everyone's saying, oh, the players, they're so greedy. And no one's saying, oh, the owners, they're so greedy trying to... Because one thing I have a real problem with is how they leaked this. They didn't, before it could be negotiated out between the union and the yeah. owners, they leaked this, knowing it would upset players, knowing it would make the players look bad, to try to put public pressure on them to get them to...
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Putting the public pressure yeah. on the players.
I think this should have been stayed behind closed doors until they had an agreement. I mean, the NBA handled it perfectly. You didn't hear anything out of the NBA until they had a plan where the players agreed to the pay cut, they announced it, and then later they agreed to extend the pay cut, and then they announced it. There was never a public disagreement between the two sides because neither side leaked the discussions. And that's one of my big problems in this, is just how the MLB is trying to use public pressure to make the players look bad so they...
Which is something they're good at. That's something the Major League Baseball owners are really good at, is making it... And we know that the incentive for them to play isn't quite like it is for the players, because they're looking at it from potential loss of revenue. Whereas the players, if you don't play, now you're not going to get paid. So, I've read and seen where some owners would altogether rather not have a season than have a shortened season. And then I think there's a long way to go between the two sides and where they come to an agreement. And we're seeing it play out. And as it's playing out publicly, it may look uglier and uglier. And I'm wondering how people are going to feel about that and how it's going to affect the investment of time that they put into sports. Because you see that, and now you see that you have gone this long without it. And I know everybody's missing it. You're all missing sports. We're all missing sports in some way, shape, or form. But the longer you go, and some of us less than others, of course, and some more than others, but the longer you go and the longer you see that, wow, there's more time to do this, or there's more time to do that. And this is how, and if you're not in a position where you're not paying for season ticket, maybe you look at it like, why? I just saved some money, right, on my season tickets. I just saved some money, and now, and it depends. Everybody's different with their situation, with their job, if they continue to work. So I wonder if what's transpiring before our eyes, billionaires versus millionaires, and then out-of-touch owners altogether, in the NFL too, coupled with what's happening, makes you feel like, hey, you know what? When sports comes back, I'm not all in. I'm gonna take a step back if I was hardcore. And as Phil, the first caller, said, he was more and more and more becoming a casual fan, or less and less. And now you may reach the point where you're like, just put it on in the background. I'm not going out of my way.
Do players even want to play? I mean, the other day, the morning show had Brian Dawkins on. Brian Dawkins said he wouldn't play now. He said, until there's a cure, I wouldn't want to. And that's Brian Dawkins. That's not some random person who just used football as a job. Brian Dawkins was so passionate about football.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he wouldn't play. I believe him. He's not the type of guy who would make that up he's not just saying that because he's out of the league. If Brian Dawkins says something, he means it.
Dawk is 100% genuine, sincere, but what Dawk has is perspective. And Dawk has a bigger perspective. And I think Philly fans, Eagles fans, have always seen the warrior on the field, but you've gotten to know over the past couple of years with his battle with everything that he was going through emotionally, a little bit more of who he is. And I've had deeper conversations with him where I know and understand his perspective. So a comment like that from him don't surprise me, because I get his perspective. And I am certain there's a lot of players who feel that way, but are playing and may not want to say it. and not because of the money factor, but because you may have someone at home who's high risk. You may have whatever it may be. So I think
Brian Dawkins does. Brian Dawkins had his daughter has a pre-existing condition.
There's a long way. Yeah, that's why I think there's a long way to go. I think we're moving towards something happening, but how you feeling about what they're saying, how it's happening before your eyes, and what does that do for you when sports will eventually come back? 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Mike, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm Rob Motti with you. I'm back. I said it a couple weeks ago, then I left again, saying it now, then I'm leaving again, but I'm supposed to be back, so finally get out of there. My wife, I can't get her. She's can't get her to commit to coming back completely. Well, it's getting nicer here. It's getting nicer here. Today's beautiful. It's beautiful, but it's not 87 like it's been every day we've had on the beach. And I know people are, beaches are opening, right? The beaches are opening down here. I see people going out there. What are you doing? I just got back. So I don't know what's where we are. It's still people are your social distance. We've been social distancing on the beach. And here's a crazy story. So we were in Indian Shores for the past 6 weeks. Indian Shores is on the Gulf of Mexico in Florida between Clearwater, St. Petersburg. And they have police occasionally driving by. One time, you had all forms. You had cops on the boat patrolling the water, just drive by. You had a cop on a buggy drive by. And what they want to make sure is nobody's too close. And where we are, everybody's completely observing, and they're doing a great job. And occasionally, and they had a helicopter. So you had them in air through the helicopter. You had them in water with the boat. You had them on the sand in the buggy, but then they also have an SUV. I don't know what the cops were driving there. I think it was an Explorer. And, I mean, sometimes they go by a little bit too fast. Well, 2 weeks ago, a 27-year-old officer was driving a little bit maybe either too fast or didn't notice. She ran over a 66-year-old man on the beach, at our beach, literally like about 50 yards away. And I don't know where he was laying or what, but she ran over his hip. He went to the hospital with serious but not life-threatening injuries. And that is just absolutely one of those only in Florida things. She ran over, and since that day, 2 weeks ago, we haven't seen the cops patrolling in a SUV. It's only coming around in a buggy. But she ran over. Can you imagine poor 66-year-old dude, probably retired, having it, because at that point, the only people who were down there were either you lived there or you've been there and you've been renting or whatever. And he's just hanging out. He gets run over by a cop on the beach. Man, I don't know if you've been to the Jersey Shore. I'm not sure how they're patrolling right now, but I'd love to hear some of your stories. What's happening? Or are you getting all your I know my buddy Sean, I saw on Facebook. He's got his favorite pizza. I know some of the lines were crazy long. Are people wearing their masks? Are they social distancing? Are they doing what they have to do, getting what they want, enjoying themselves, but at the same time, staying safe? 610-632-0975. So we'll add that in there. So the NFL owners, and Dylan and I were talking about this again during the break. If you hire a minority head coach, you jump up six spots from where you were slotted to pick in the third round. in his second season, preceding the second. It would jump 10 spots under the same scenario for an executive, like a GM. If you do both, it would be 16 spots. Now, that isn't enough of an incentive to make you only seek a minority candidate. But now if you have two guys and they interview well and they come across to you as neck and neck and you could go either way, aren't you going to take the guy who's going to get you six spots higher or maybe 10 spots depending on which job it is? Now, Dylan, you had a great point that you think this is just a PR stunt. And I think you're right in that they know the public back. If they're that tone deaf that they don't realize the public backlash is going to be completely against them here. And I haven't had a chance because I was traveling the past couple of days to talk to my NFL guys, and I will. And they'll let me know if I would just knowing some of the guys there and how they think. I think there are some people who would not even be on board with this within the NFL building, who might not even be on board with this. But as you said, if it's a PR stunt, they know, well, we tried. We're doing everything we can, right? We're doing everything we can. So
I think it's a fake solution to a real problem. I do think it's a real problem that I don't think minority coaches get enough of a chance. And I think part of the problem is they're not getting a chance to get in at the bottom level. You're not, because you have the Rooney Rule set up for GMs and head coaches, but you don't have it set up for assistant coaches. So, and that's how you come up with the ranks. You get a yes. job with someone, you get with a good coach or a good coordinator, you learn from them, you move up, you get a coordinator job, then eventually a head coach job. But if the Rooney Rule only applies to head coaches, that's not helping getting more people into the system to learn how to be a head coach. It's just, so I think a better solution would be expanding the Rooney Rule to all coaching positions, assistants and all that. But instead, I don't think this is a real solution. I think this is something they're doing because they know people are upset about there not being enough minority coaches in the league.
The thing is, and yeah, you're right. Look at the offensive coordinators. There's only two, and they were both former players. There's Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City and Byron Leftwich in Tampa. And until you know what? Tom Brady going to Tampa, if they have a great year, that may instantly make Leftwich, whether he deserves it or not, a candidate because, oh, look what they did. And Brady was with him, whatever. We'll see what they do if they play. But whereas in Kansas City, they won a Super Bowl. So Eric Bieniemy has had some opportunities to be interviewed, and we don't know. Like you said, there's it's a real problem, but how do you solve it? I don't know how you solve it. It's, do you increase the Rooney Rule to some of these, the coaching positions? Yeah, because you have to increase that way so guys can be in the system and then come up the ranks, but.
And that's not handing it to anyone. That's just giving people an opportunity to earn it. You're giving them and saying, okay, you have to interview them. And it's not saying, oh, you have to give them a job. It's saying you have to give them a chance. And if all things equal, if you give enough people a chance, it's going to – people should get high because there shouldn't be a difference.
I'd love to hear a guy like Ray Rhodes' thoughts on something like this because Ray Rhodes would just tell it like it is. But Eric Bieniemy said it. I was at the Super Bowl talk, asked him about it, and the 49ers defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, who's a minority candidate, asked both of those guys about it. And both of them, well, I don't want to get a job just because I'm a minority candidate. And that's the thing, when you try to give an incentive to it, it's going to make it just ugly. It looks bad. It looks bad, and I don't think this is going to go through. But now you have that. You have baseball owners, billionaires who can afford to pay the players, but should they? And then the players who shouldn't be complaining publicly, at least. And here's what you got to understand about players. Many of them don't live in the real world. There are guys who get it. There are certainly guys who get it. But there are a majority of guys who don't live in a real world, and they don't know what it's like to have to live paycheck to paycheck. So when they're complaining about a full salary for $4 million or $14 million or another $15 million, they don't realize how many people are waiting in lines at a food bank. But they need to understand you can't, during this climate, put it out there. You just have those conversations with your union and have the union have those conversations with the owners and then work it out. But I'm wondering how that makes you feel as a sports fan. Will you be less in when sports comes back? Because you're seeing guys complaining about salaries, and one of them, and although Bryce didn't say it to the extent of what Blake Snell said, well, Bryce Harper, he said he completely agrees with everything that Blake Snell said. All of it. And he said somebody had to man up and say it. So how do you feel about Bryce? And then I also want to get into in a little bit, and we'll do this when we come back. Bryce put a lot of thought. Dylan, did you see that? Bryce put a lot of thought into his proposal for baseball. So I want to take a look at that. And if you haven't seen what Bryce Harper has suggested, we'll get into that too as well. But are you going to be all in when sports comes back? Or are you thinking, maybe I'm going to take a step back? 610-632-0975. Rob Motti on the Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti here with you till 10, 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon with me, taking your calls. And trying to have this conversation about Major League Baseball, the owners, the players, when you have the billionaires fighting against millionaires. I see that certain different provisions are starting, guidelines are changing, phase one in some states and not in others. I just got the, my wife sent me the text, and they're now moving into phase one completion, I guess it says. Phase one completion in Florida. It's different. Each state. Florida's different than PA, and Jersey's different than PA, and everybody. So as the NFL attempts to reopen some of the facilities on Tuesday, some teams aren't going to be able to open, including the Eagles. I kind of feel like NBA is going to be the first sport back because they just have to finish a season. So what they can do is attempt to finish the season. If something goes wrong, that's it. They give up on the season. We're done. Hockey would then follow suit. And I feel like obviously NFL has time on its hands. They can wait it out a little bit. And then baseball's in a difficult predicament where they didn't play any games yet. So if you start and then have to stop, then you already delayed the start. It's tough. That's why I kind of feel like the NBA could, with a place like Orlando, go right into the postseason. I had this conversation with some league people about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And the longer you go, the more you think it's got to go right into the postseason. So I kind of think they would be the first to give it a shot. But then Adam Silver the other day says, well, if we're going to completely shut down for one positive test, then is it worth coming back for? So I'm not sure. None of us are sure when it's going to happen, what's going to happen. All we know is this. It's been 2+ months, and you've gone through it. You've gone through it. Give yourself credit. You've gone through it. If you thought you never could survive without sports or live without sports, well, here you are. You did it. The longer we go, does it make you feel, I can I could put it on the back burner. Maybe I won't make plans around events. You know, that wedding that you didn't want to go to because it fell on a day of a playoff game, a Sixers playoff game. So you kind of backed out and sent your wife or your plus one without you or whatever. Maybe now you go. Some people have, I mean, major life-altering events, like a birth of a child or a wedding, and you change things up around it or plan them around sports. Are you less inclined to do that now? Are you more likely to use that time in a different way? 610-632-0975. I know I'm not going to hear from anyone who thinks that this is a good idea, what the NFL owners are proposing. But if there's someone out there who does, I want to hear from you. If you think giving teams an incentive to hire minority head coaches or front office executives, and the incentive being for a head coach, 6 spots in the 3rd round in his 2nd season, after his 1st season. And if it's a executive, 10 spots, if it's both, if you happen to hire both in a season, 16 spots. If you think this is a good idea and it's not just nonsense being thrown out there so they can say, well, we tried, we don't know what else we can do, we're trying. I want to hear from one person who thinks it's a good idea. 610-632-0975. Because I don't even think the coaches, the candidates themselves. I know 2 guys that I talked to, in Robert Salah and Eric Bieniemy, definitely did not think any of that would be a good idea. So I want to hear from you there. And what's your reaction to Bryce Harper's comments? Bryce Harper, it just backed up what Blake Snell said. Blake Snell said playing for anything less than his $7 million salary, his full salary, is just not worth it because he feels he's putting his life in danger. For me to go, to take a pay cut, is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry you guys think differently, but the risk is way higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that? I'm sorry. That's Blake Snell. That's what he's saying. Guys are out of touch. Guys are, and they're completely out of touch. And we played for you what Bryce Harper said in a, while playing a video game, and he said Blake's his guy, and he's all for it. And this is, so then Snell told the Tampa Bay Times, I honestly think I would see what my peers did and talk to my loved ones before I made a decision because I really do want to play baseball and be around the family we have built here in Tampa. It's just a hard time with a lot going on to make it even harder. I mean, honestly, it's just scary to risk my life to get COVID-19 as well as not knowing and spreading it to others. I just want everyone to be healthy and get back to our normal lives because I know I miss mine. So in a follow-up text, he didn't back down from the comments. He just didn't state them quite as harshly. And I want to know how you feel about it. My buddy Jasper sends a tweet, says, in my opinion, sports should not return until testing is available for everyone. Not just millionaire players and billionaire owners and their families, especially when frontline workers still can't get readily tested. Sports is not essential. Jasper's got perspective. I can't argue. You can't argue with that perspective. And here's the thing. I talked to Troy Vincent at the NFL, and he said, we will not take tests away from the general public. And I understand that. But aren't any tests being taken away from the general public? That's the issue. Any tests that would go to the players and the organization are being taken away from the general public. So this is an issue that I don't know when it's going to be resolved. How do you feel about what these players have said? And what is your perspective now, 2+ months into it, about your devotion to sports? Is it changing? And is it changing because you've been away for so long? It's been away for so long. You haven't. They have. Or is it changing the combination of that and what some of the players have said? 610-632-0975. Steve, hang on. I'll get to you next. You can join a conversation after Steve. We got open lines. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.